Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my wonderful co-host, Veronica Entwistle. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, Jackie. How are you doing?
Oh, just hunky-dory.
Hi, everybody. Are you riding the wild surf?
Yes. See, you're wearing your lipstick and I got my flak jacket on.
We're adorable.
Aren't we cute? Okay, tonight, resistance to love, how to recognize, identify, and heal it. God almighty, if we can heal this one, we're home free, guys. as the team calls it, the ultimate human blockage, the resistance to love. And, of course, we're going to talk tonight about why we resist and what we're afraid of, and perhaps we've been so used to shouldering against all the changes and disappointments that our greatest fear is the loss of love.
So we contrive with our minds so many ways of avoiding it or blocking it.
Oh, amen. And which also, you know, keeps us from allowing it in. And so we're going to talk about resistance, and the team is just chomping at the bit. So and tonight's dedication is for all humans to allow and feel the love that is held for them on the other side of the veil, to finally know completely that they are loved. This is a big one, guys, for everybody. So I've got a couple of letters I want to share tonight because I find them, well, they're, each one is fascinating in their own unique way. Haven't done this in a while, but these came in and it felt important to share them because in addition to dealing with our resistance to love tonight, this has been a very interesting time energetically. Veronica and I were talking earlier, lots of attack coming at us. And now we know as metaphysicians that if it's coming at us, somehow we're creating it. That's the part I'm struggling with is, you know, what's my role in this, you know? And certainly what we're seeing, I think, is a lot of people feeling these energies and not knowing what to do with them and striking out and getting a little crazy.
I just want to say something. We had a friend, my daughter was young, and she had a friend who used to practically live at our house. His dad used to beat the crap out of him all the time. But it was interesting, no matter where we went, when the kids were playing around, people would zero in on him and hit him. And I thought it was probably one of the best examples of how our attraction routine works, you know?
Absolutely. The imprint is there, and we will attract it. And, you know, this last week, boundaries have been up really big in sessions as well as in my personal life and other people I've talked to. And and those boundaries only come about when we've healed all the damage we've had. You know, otherwise, we don't believe we deserve to have them. But these imprints where we've had a lot of abuse are certainly coming up. And so if we want to say, well, this is part of what's attracting the attacks, we can throw that in the mix as well. That's a good point, Veronica.
Well, it's part of our clearing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. God.
Infinite clearing. La, 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 la.
I don't know. I'm so beat up this week. It's hard to say. I'm going to share this first email, and this comes from my darling Astrid in Norway. So it's in broken English because she writes phonetically, but it's adorable. And I won't get into too much detail here, but basically, she has a cousin who's been trying to get her to cut down some very old trees, an oak tree specifically. And of course, just the thought of this makes her very ill of trying to cut down this tree. You know, the cousin is complaining. They live on this big property on an island in Norway. And you know, all the families have been there for a very long time, and everybody's related. So this has been an ongoing, very big issue for her because she thinks the tree is beautiful. I'll go in from there. And so yesterday she asked the spirit of the tree if the tree wanted to stay. And she told the tree, she said, if you'll help me with this, I'm not sure how long I can hold against them, her cousins, as they have a tendency to walk all over her. And so this morning she came out into the living room and she stepped on a piece of paper that was laying on the floor. It was not there the night before. She lives in one of the homes on the property by herself. And this is where we're getting bleed through into our reality. This kind of fits in with some of the other things that are going on. And she picked it up to throw it in the trash, and then her mouth dropped open. It was a piece of card cut, and there was a tree on the front of it with a little girl holding a bag with fruits, and there was something that looked like a big leaf. And the card was cut right over the girl's shoulder so that there was no head on her and no branches on the tree. And to her, she interpreted it as, if you cut our branches, you cut the head of our spirit too, and we die. And so she was going to scan this over to me, but this really hit her so strongly, and I thought it was so amazing. I'm so used to things and interventions anymore that nothing surprises me. So she goes on and she says that one of the first things my cousin said was that she'd never believed that she could be so difficult in all the years she'd known her. And I guess in a session, the team had told her there will come a time when people will wonder what has happened to Astrid and that she's so difficult. And, so I thought this was very interesting. But she goes on to say that, she's having difficulty, of course, understanding all the people that are just kind of trampling over each other. But it was very interesting after this kind of attack over the tree, the cousin then said, why don't you come over for coffee? And poor Astrid was like, what? So I think this is just kind of another interesting perspective on some of the things I'm seeing this last week, especially. I have another amazing one from Squirrel. Now, I have to give you some background. The day of Squirrel's session, the team had just done a session prior. We'd done a session prior to Squirrel's, and the team used this whole analogy of a pinball machine. And I don't remember much of it except that I get the pictures. And they were talking about resistance. Okay, that part I do remember. That's about it. So during Squirrel session, she started talking about the whole pinball thing, and the team said, "Well, we've used this analogy." So here she calls herself the Pinball Wizard. So dear one, what's been going on with you? The team asked during my last session. Well, I said, this week I feel like I'm experiencing my life on a pinball machine. I am the steel ball bouncing off the pins, and the pins are the repeating players representing the resistant belief patterns in my life. They have also graciously converged at this moment, sending off lights and sounds too blatant and blinding to ignore. Clearly, they all fit into my belief of lack of support. They are all needing, wanting something from me. It is so crazed that I can only stay on a pin briefly before zooming to the next, back and forth, up and down, ricocheting off the bumpers. Using my flippers to stay in the game all the time, trying to avoid going down the drain. Clearly, I can't stop the game until I get it right. I continue to pull back on the plunger, ready to fire off another pinball, and the madness continues. As we talk some more, the team so gently placed my pins into perspective. There was the selfish, manipulating male who always needs to win, the careless male who can't admit any wrongdoing, the elusive, non-committing male, the wounded male, the weak male, and the I'm going to break up with you before you break up with me male. On the other side of the play field is my mother, representing the downtrodden, worn out, broken, facing her own mortality female, who is hanging on by a thread to her image of the impregnating matriarchal strength. Do they all want me to validate who they think they are? I can't, and I won't. Because at this point, I can't validate who I think I am. I am the steel ball who hits the pin and must move on to stay alive in the game. I have no room for the whiners, the victims, and the martyrs. They regurgitate those very dark, hidden feelings within me that I can't bear to face. No, I must keep bouncing away from the insanity. Are you resisting love, the team asked. Resisting love? Who, me? Doesn't everyone want to love and be loved? Give me something I can work with here, a pin that feels loving, that resonates to me, that doesn't suck the life force from me, and then perhaps I won't keep bouncing around. I'm not resisting love. They are pushing me away. Think about it, they said. Think about it. And so I am, and so I am. The pinball squirrel.
Good work, squirrel. Oh, dear.
And this is... Oh, God, I love this one. I just loved it. I'm sorry for laughing, but... She goes on now, with apologies to the Who, and she quotes from this song, she becomes part of her distraction, creating her own hell. Victim, martyr, blame, she knows them all so well. Always get a replay, protected by her walls. That hurt, sad, and kind girl, she sure plays a mean pinball. Squirrel, you're just brilliant. That's all we have to say here.
Very good. Mm-hmm.
She is just brilliant. All right, one more from another darling person. Dear Laura, I hesitate to give names unless they send me the names with these. So, the night before last, I hit the wall again. I was so tired that I could hardly keep my eyes open. I felt the energy shift, so I laid my body down on a rock-raised hearth. A fire was gently burning. The warmth was wonderfully soothing and comforting, as we had been out in the snow all day. My husband was laying on the couch adjacent from me. I closed my eyes and felt myself drifting away. At some point, he got up and said, "Come on, let's go to bed." I saw him walk past me, but I was too tired to get up. Again, I drifted off somewhere. When I opened my eyes, the couch was empty, and the room was quiet. No more snoring. I went back to sleep and woke again to him back on the couch snoring. I closed my eyes and opened them again to an empty couch and a quiet room. Again, I closed my eyes, reopening them again to him back on the couch snoring. Now I was becoming alert enough to wonder what was going on. I closed my eyes again, drifting a bit, and reopened my eyes to a quiet room and an empty couch. However, this time I kept my eyes open and I watched his body appear back on the couch, snoring and all. I looked at him for a while, wondering what the heck was going on. Was I drifting in and out of realities, or was my husband really, really good at playing disappear? Now you see me, now you don't. I felt curious about all this, but chose to fall back to sleep. After some time, I woke up feeling refreshed, got up to go to bed, finding my husband sound asleep in the bed. Now, you know, we've talked about this, the team's talked about the reality shift that we're in. I'd say going through, but we're in.
Where am I?
Yeah, right. And this dimensional stuff is really getting very interesting. And I think, you know, the dream state allows us to be even more fluid. I had someone I used to date, and we had the same kind of experience. We were in Sedona, however, at the time. And he just went crazy because we would lay down to go to sleep, and I would appear on the other side of him in the bed sitting up. And he'd wake me up, and he'd say, "Stop doing that." And I'd say, "What?" And he'd say, "Well, you keep being on the other side of me sitting up, but you're laying here." And so this is the realm that we're entering right now. Very, very, it's always been there, but we're going to become more and more and more aware of these very interesting dynamics. I've been noticing it with my dogs. And now little Millie, who was, you know, my dear, darling Millie girl, used to bilocate all the time. And anybody she ever stayed with, I would, if I forgot to tell them, they would call me and say, "Hello, does Millie bilocate?" And I'd have to say, "Oh, gosh, I forgot to tell you." We're going to see a lot of this. Back to the pinball machine, and oh God, that's pretty much how it's felt to me anyway. It's been a very interesting time. The resistance to love thing, and the reason this was so strong, when the team did their Valentine gift to everybody, it really hit me hard, and I had had an experience with something that had hit me hard. I had, you know, haven't been willing to share this till now, that I, you know, I've been doing a lot of dating, and I got involved with somebody over the phone, which was a real no-no. I know better. To the point where they were coming to town, we were finally going to meet, and my little girl was all over this. She was like so excited. And when I met this person, it was, they did not look like their photographs and so on. And I was, my child was more devastated than I was. The adult was okay, but my little girl was absolutely devastated. So the gift from the team came right after that, and of course hit my resistance to love. And I started what I do sometimes when I move some really big energies. I started passive blood. So it's been a very interesting time as I'm out there more than I have been probably my whole life, really dating, and trying to understand. It was fascinating to me trying to understand, you know, the dynamics between male, female. I mean, as much as I do this, you know, in session and so on, but this is looking at it through very different eyes. It's been very, very interesting to see it in other people and to also see my own responses to situations and realizing that, like with Squirrel, you reach a point where you're kind of like, you know, it's easier to stay home. Get me out of the game, you know. So the resistances and the attack thing, I talked to someone that you and I both know, Veronica, about the attack thing. We were talking about the energies and what's going on right now, and lots of people are getting hit very, very hard right now. Well, everybody is, and those that are awake and those that aren't awake. So a lot of attack energy coming out of people. And I think they're scared. I think, again, this is this fear, the resistance to love, the fear that they won't be supported, they won't be loved, that, you know, we are a planet in crisis right now.
The other thing about all the futures, I mean, the futures are faster and there's so many possibilities. And it's interesting because we're sort of projecting aloneness and resistances as well. You know, it's kind of all, it's really quite chaotic.
Well, I think we're hitting, yes, it is very chaotic. I agree with you, Veronica, absolutely. And I think everybody, and I want to say this to everyone, everybody has got to be feeling a variety of feelings every day, bouncing back and forth between hope and positivity into fear and, oh, my God, suppose this or suppose that. It's very difficult to stay absolutely centered all the time. Now, and we know it's a challenge. God, we know it's a challenge for everybody. You know, and again, because we're all becoming more and more sensitive, certainly, you know, in whatever capacity we're functioning, whether we're raising children, out in the world working, you know, doing healing work, whatever any of you are doing, it's out there. You may be seeing it with families. You may be seeing it, you know, with children, spouses. I know of one person whose spouse has become very negative about her participating in this work and very confrontive. So we're having to stand up for what we believe in. Many people are finding that they're having to do that. And even if there's been a whole shift, all of a sudden it's like the chauvinism has come back up, the fear has come back up and said, no, you can't do this. So maybe a lot of challenges out there. Veronica, I know you ran into a couple of situations this week as well, didn't you?
Yeah, mine's kind of interesting. It's where sometimes when things are consistently awkward with certain people or difficulty in really hearing each other goes on, and you know, maybe some clients and so on, something in me has just changed, or like, I'm not doing this anymore, I'm done.
Good for you.
And I'm kind of a, I'm not really like that most of the time, but I'm suddenly going, you know, I'm really done with this and that. I don't have time to go into that kind of ping pong or maybe the relentless pinball wizard or whatever it is. You know, I don't have time for that anymore. I've got to really grow and evolve and move past. So that's maybe a resistance to love, or maybe it's a resistance to a game that I used to play in love or something.
I would say that that's not resistance to love. I would say that that's absolutely claiming love for yourself.
For myself, yeah.
Absolutely, because you're claiming your own value.
Yeah, and it's just so sudden for me, like, okay, that's it. But I had a dream that I died, and maybe that's all related, you know?
I would say it's very related.
Yeah, it's kind of a nice thing. It's very decisive, and I can get very indecisive, but this is very decisive. I'm not even mad. It's like, okay, that's that. I'm done.
Good girl.
Yeah, we'll see if it really is. We'll see what happens, yeah.
Well, and I have done that with clients as well. And not for a couple of months, but, you know, when I have done it, it's been that's it. And it's not that I don't love them.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry?
I just found it was more now, and I thought maybe it's a response to these energies right now.
Absolutely. So good for you. Good for you. Congratulations.
Growing up in a slingshot.
Well, yeah. Again, with these energies, you may all be going through a lot of... I want to... just cover this real quick before I go into channel. A lot of times I forget these things, and then all of a sudden they come flying in. A lot of you may be encountering issues around what you're eating, what you're ingesting, supplements you're taking, and so on and so forth. All of a sudden we're going through this big shift where everything that we've been doing all of a sudden may not be working. And I want to make everybody comfortable with the idea that if that's the case, go with it. Just go with what your body's needing right now. I hit a real interesting thing where no matter what kind of supplement I'm trying to take, protein, I can't seem to get it down, and it just doesn't agree with my system.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so I'm having to completely restructure what I'm taking into my body because, and in fact, darling Natalia found some very obscure form of protein that, I mean, she, I don't know where she found this, and I'm going to order that and see if that'll work. And I think
we're taking one called the Ultimate One. It seems to be pretty good.
I believe that's what it's called.
Oh, okay.
Is it quinoa based?
I think it is. Yeah.
Yes, that's mm-hmm. the one. So I'm, you know, at this point, anything that's got dairy right now, my body's just saying, nope, no.
Yeah, I can't do the whey for that reason.
Mm-hmm. So,
but I have another problem is I have eaten so much peanut butter over the last 2 days, I don't know what's happening to me, whether I'm regressing radically or what.
Again, our bodies are craving different things, and mm-hmm. I just want to say that this is, just go with it, whatever it may be. I mean, I bought this giant thing of field greens that, you know, I mean, you could damn near take a bath in it. And, you know, so I would...
what is it?
Field greens,
oh,
you know,
okay.
Field green lettuce. And, you know, I'm just, you know, seem to need, my son has been living on vegetables, and he's lost a lot of weight, and he looks phenomenal. Mm. But, I mean, he can't get enough of them down his throat. It's just amazing to me. So I it's not only for me, for him, but I'm seeing it with so many other people. So,
But I haven't heard that about peanut butter from anybody.
No, darling, I haven't heard about peanut butter, but if it's feeling good for you, you go for it.
I think it's an old addiction.
Is it?
I'm not really worried about it.
Good.
It's just exceptional right now.
Okay, anyway, I did want to say that to everyone. And your sleep patterns may be off. Take, you know, if you need to, more melatonin. If you need to take more, especially right now, adrenal support, you know, where things are a little wacky, and, you know, I'm sleeping like, you know, I'm tired, so I'm not, you know, but I do notice that I wake up, you know, multiple times to go to the restroom. I mean, I just feel my body going through this huge shift again, so I just wanted to share that with everybody, because I've talked to a couple of clients that are having the same problem, so just go with it, whatever it takes. Anyway, I'm going to go into channel here and give them as much time as I can. And let's see what they have to say. All right. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, Veronica.
Hello. How are you?
Oh, we are always wonderful. We can be no other way.
It's wonderful to have you here.
Well, thank you. It is our joy, our pleasure to be with all of you. Now, a few things that the channel did not share that we want to bring up to you. Some of you may be having heart pains. Now, with the energies, the way that they are coming in, all right, and the reason we're bringing this up, again, resistance to love. So, if you're having little sharp pains in the heart, so on, you're not going to die. It's not a heart attack. If you have concern, go to your doctor, your hospital, whatever. We don't want you sitting around going, the team said, well, don't do anything. It's just this. So that's not what we're saying to you. But we are saying that you may be hitting little times of jabbing pains in the heart. All right? And this is a perfect timing for that. It is in conjunction with resistance to love. A shifting in the heart chakra. A shifting in the heart chakra. All right. So what's going on now? Well, let's talk about love. Interesting subject, considering that everything seems to be going to hell in a handbasket on your planet. But all of a sudden, we're talking about love. Well, let's talk about Squirrel's letter for a moment. She's having an opportunity now to choose a different reality for herself. And to make choices, she's done some wonderful thinking about all of this, putting everything into categories, and we did this with her as well. But you see, you're all having an opportunity now to look at your lives and look at the places where you didn't love yourselves enough, where you were willing to allow situations to occur that weren't loving for you, that weren't loving for you. Now, this is a time that we encourage all of you to stand tall for what you believe, to love yourselves unconditionally. We know these are words, everyone, but we still have to say them to you, including your flaws. And you have them because you're human. It's part of being on Earth. Now, here's part of the problem. That you look out there and you say, well, if I'm a loving spiritual person, I'll always be loving and spiritual and always do the right thing and this and that. We didn't say martyr. Because that's not the energy that you want to be in. And that's been marketed to you for thousands of years. Not by the one that you know as Jesus or Yeshua, but by those that promoted him. And the way they promoted him, to be untouchable, that you could never achieve what he achieved on the planet. Taking your power away, of course. But they missed a lot about who he really was as a man, about his true personality. Yes, he had an incredible loving quality about him, a wonderful energy field. But he also was a very passionate being, filled with knowledge and understanding that he had acquired. Notice we said acquired. He worked hard to be where he was. But he did love himself. Contrary to what you all may think. But this is where the whole martyr thing comes in. And from that point forward, people got this all messed up. Now, where is your place that you resist love? Now, you've been taught to resist love. You've been taught that love isn't safe. Haven't you, Veronica?
You sure have. And sometimes just through experience in terms of loss, say, when love is attachment or security or identity are involved in.
Well, do you want it? It begins. Well, first of all, we can go all the way back on this one. The egg that your mother is born with, all right? Your grandmother carried your mother. And there's mother's and grandmother's imprint in that egg before you're ever born. Then mother carries that egg all through her life until she conceives you. Then another 9 months. But the imprint's in the egg, in the cells of the egg. So you've come in with some pre-programming, built-in software. And then you enter the world. In a more direct fashion. Now, no one would really say that Earth is a friendly place. You know, parents get tired. Postpartum depression and all kinds of other things. So you're taught early on that love really is not unconditional, aren't you?
Yes.
And then you have to measure up. Taught that very early as well. And that love is conditional. If you do something bad, you get in trouble. That doesn't feel very loving to a child. Then it goes from there. So yes, you've been programmed, and now you're coming out of the programming, the collective programming, as well as your familial programming, programming of your lineage, programming of your nationality. Think of wearing 1,000 sweaters and you're taking one off at a time. One at a time. One layer at a time. Coming back to who you really are. Who you really are. So, the issue about resistance to love at a time when your planet doesn't feel very safe anyway. Got kind of a double play going on, don't you? Now, people don't tend to think of love as being self-generated. They tend to think of love as outside of themselves. But we would say to you, the most important love there is the love you have for yourself. Everything after that is wonderful. But there's nothing that's more important than the love you have for yourself. And if you don't love yourself, you're not going to be able to allow love in from anywhere. From anywhere. Not really.
Some people are born with a self-love that is natural to their soul flow, isn't it? Aren't they?
Well, we would... All right.
Well, I'm just thinking we don't all start off the same here.
Again. Software. Software, Veronica.
Yes.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
There are so many variables that we could talk about this for years. Truly. And yes, there are some that come in. Maybe you've seen them. The channel has a granddaughter that came in so pure, so loving. And then over time, trying to survive on the planet and to build up all of her defenses. And she changed. She was no longer this incredible being. Now it's under there, under all the layers, all the sweaters. It's there. But she got early on that the world wasn't safe for a variety of reasons. And so she took to her room, pretty much stayed there most of her young life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you see, the question is, can they survive with that kind of loving soul? Now you've got some ones coming in now that are doing better because the parents are better equipped.
Mm-hmm.
Better equipped now if you look at some of these young people having children. But we're talking about all of you now. How do you get there? Now we'd really recommend to all of you to sit down if you have time. We know everybody's busy. And do some journaling, some writing about what is my resistance to love. Why do I resist love? You see, we're watching the channel right now to see what she's doing. You know, is she being resistant? Is she being courageous? Is she stepping out there? Is she trying and so on and so forth? She's making it much harder on herself than we'd ever make it on her, but it's all right. She's determined, you see, to learn for herself. Because in her life, she went from one relationship to the other, but never really was out there. She never dated. She didn't do these things. She didn't do these things. So now she's looking at what are people looking for, what, and spending time with them and asking them questions. What are you looking for? Why are you looking for that? What do you need? And asking the question, do you love yourself? How do you feel about yourself? Getting some wonderfully interesting answers in the process. So, now you all have history. Well, my mom this and my dad that and my brother this and my uncle that, and I was molested, and I was this. You've all got a number of stories. All right? About your childhood. Your personal history in this lifetime. Veronica, can you hear us?
I sure can.
Oh, all right. We didn't know. The phone went funny. All right. So... but you've done your work, all of you. And hopefully, you've allowed that to become a story. You've unhooked emotionally from it. Now, we didn't say perfectly. We said unhooked emotionally as much as possible. What's going to get you in trouble? Projections. All those are going to get you in trouble.
Mm.
But this is what humans do. They project onto others. many people out there are still projecting mom and dad. Still, because that's the way your collective works. And they project their needs onto others. Oh, this person is going to be my Prince Charming. Mm-hmm. Or Princess Charming, whichever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
Even in friendships, Veronica, you know this one.
Mm-hmm.
Your tried and true friend. You expect them to be there through thick and thin. And then they hit their issues. And suddenly they're not the same person that you counted on. What happened to my friend? Where'd they go? A lot of you are encountering this.
Isn't it interesting as the collective changes or as we clear more, some really weird stuff comes up again and we think they're different, but they might just be clearing, eh?
That's correct. This is not easy. So you're going to have to look at what are people really going through? Who are they? Why? Some of it you won't have an answer for. Now, the channel didn't read all of Astrid's letter. Part of it, she talked about the fact that it wasn't fair that there seemed to be these people who didn't care about anything, and they seemed to be doing fine. And here I care, and it's tearing me up. Yes, well. They're not bad and wrong because they don't care, because they're not fully awake. That's what you all came to do, was to make that pathway for those that aren't awake. You knew coming in that you were going to have to work harder. And you were all excited to do it.
We didn't know the same amount then, did we?
What?
We didn't know this much then.
Well, no, we did not. But from there you did. You thought you had. You did a lot of studying before you made these choices.
Mm-hmm.
You thought you had it all figured out. And the truth is, is that you really do. But now let's talk about love. How many of you actually feel loved and supported from the other side of the veil? Do you feel it, Veronica?
Yes, sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't let that in either. You know?
Oh, interesting comment. Don't let it in.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens when you don't let it in? What circumstances?
Things get very hard and they're very tense and I don't know. I can't really explain it. Sort of there's a stiffness that goes on, and it's harder to get things done and find hope and change and stuff until I go, oh, yeah, right. You know, something reminds me to get back in touch. Or you feel deeply alone, that sort of thing.
There you go. You feel alone. And you get caught up in the illusion, don't you?
Yeah.
Of them against us, whatever that them may be, or them against me, or I'm all alone. But none of you are alone. Now, what's been happening is all of you are becoming, or you always have been, but you don't know each other yet, incredibly connected to one another. And we've said this before about the meetings that you're having in the dream state. Planning and plotting all that's going on, and we want you to understand that you're all a team working together in ways that you have no idea yet. And in those meetings, you're meeting with beings on the other side of the veil. Many of you have lifetimes that are participating in this whole movement in a very direct fashion. In a very direct fashion. And so here you are on this side of the veil, dealing with what you have to deal with. Another version of you on the other side of the veil saying, Jesus, maybe if we do this, you'll listen. Maybe if we do that. Now you're going to find that the interventions are going to start being, well, as Astrid had the experience with the picture on the floor, cut picture. Now, bear in mind, no one goes in her home except her. Now, even those that we work with now are having people who've never felt anything, which we're having a great deal of fun with this, are all of a sudden, when they receive their visit before their session, saying, my God, I had a visit. I know what it was. I finally felt, as they worked on this whole right side of my body, this part that I'm having difficulty with, and this and that and the other thing going up through my brain. And you're going to start feeling things much more directly. And the reason we're talking about resistance to love, because it's not only resistance to physical love, it's resistance to love on the other side of the veil. And it's also the resistance to loving yourself. You're on the threshold right now, everyone. On the threshold of the most exciting time imaginable. And on the one side, you have all this chaos and fear and all of these things going on and all this uncertainty. And on the other side, whatever you can imagine, because you're creating this new world, with unlimited possibilities. And every moment you're choosing which way, which reality you're going to experience, every moment. Now, that's pretty big. If you can get the visual of this, and we hope that we've helped you to do that, whether you see yourself standing on a fence, standing on some platform, with the chaos and the backbiting and the fear and the attacks and the police sirens and all the other things going on over here, and on the other side, all this love, all your guides, your departed friends calling you, come with us, come on, just shift your perspective. Well, how does that get me love? In order to walk into this alternate reality, you have to let go of the resistance. Oh, that. Well, you're supposed to teach us how to do that. It's a choice, everyone. And the more you choose it, the more you set off chemical responses in the brain that then go throughout the body. You know, we've been talking to you now for months about the night of the show when the team comes to visit, if you request, to work with subconscious and unconscious beliefs. And those of you who are working with us directly in sessions, accessing, helping you along with those that you can't get to identify, transmute, and change them. But you have to make the choice. Now, it's a wonderful meditation every morning, or even for a few moments, to close your eyes before you leave your bedrooms, even or perhaps even before you get out of your bed. I'm going to make a choice today. The reality over here that's calling me, I'm going to reach out to that. Reach out to that. And watch and see how your day goes as a result of that. Maybe a couple of times during the day, closing your eyes and just reaching out with a hand. And feeling the touches, imagining them if you have to, of all those that love you, and all those friends and family members and lovers that are working on the other side of the veil, patting your hand, your arm, encouraging you, telling you you're doing great, you're doing great. See, they know that you're the ones in the trenches. So, Veronica, what is your resistance to love? What do you think yours is?
Probably being self-deceptive or being too, I don't know, too vulnerable.
Oh.
I work on it. I want it. I'm very loving in many ways. You know? But I see that quite a bit, like,
And what's the
It's just like stopping myself, being cautious, being cool.
So what's the fear attached to that?
I think being wrong or not perceiving clearly what someone else is, so that's looking for a certain kind of value or something, you know, making an idiot of myself.
Now, why would you be afraid of making an idiot of yourself? Afraid that, are you afraid that you're misinterpreting what they are offering? What is that?
Well, I think it's maybe being too trusting, having been too trusting in the past, and becoming a bit cynical and watching more carefully and not being just really open and loving.
All right. Now, there's a difference, everyone, between being discerning, using discernment out of self-love and self-value, and having resistance. There's a difference.
I suppose that's true, and I was talking about being cautious, which maybe isn't always resistance.
No, if you're being discerning out of being loving for yourself, that's not resistance, Veronica. That's wisdom.
Well, that's good.
Yes, that's wisdom. Congratulations. That's wisdom. We don't recommend any of you stand out in front of a bus.
Oh, unfortunately, we have to close off in a few minutes, and we've got about a minute and a half.
All right. Well, why don't you talk about your show next week?
Next week, we're talking to a woman who's the daughter of the fellow who started Matrix Energetics, because they're setting up a children's energy weekend so that children 4 to 14 are learning how to do energy for their own healing and to help each other.
Beautiful.
And I'm really excited about exploring that. So they're comping me a ticket so I can talk about it on the radio, and I'm interviewing the woman running it next week.
Wonderful.
Yes, her name is Justice Bartlett. It's Matrix Energetics. I'm looking forward to this.
Sounds wonderful. And your show is on when, dear?
On Tuesday at 5 o'clock, Paradigm Shifters. 4 o'clock is a Radiance by Design. It's a call-in show. We talk about you, teach meditations, and so on. Answer questions.
Wonderful. As you give your beautiful insights also, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do.
Thank you.
Now, to all of you, tonight is special night, and we offer this to each and every one of you. Whether you do it tonight or you listen to this program in the archives, we always have to qualify this, so no one feels that they missed out. If you will call in the team and ask them to work with you tonight, on your resistance to love. Now this is the time to put down your walls. This is the time to be vulnerable. All right? This is the time to be vulnerable, to allow. When you call in the team, call in your own guides. Your higher self, your soul, your oversoul, spirit. Your other unseen friends, you've all got a lot of them. Some of you work with Lazarus or others. Call them in as well. Make it a party as you go to sleep tonight. I'm willing to give up my resistance to love. And I ask for assistance, for loving assistance, I'm really ready to do this, to be the map maker so that through my energy shift, others can let go of their resistances. Because that resistance creates anger. And a lot of what you're seeing out there with angry people are people who are resistant to love. Know that. Regardless of where they show up in your life. Whether it's the person that cuts you off in traffic and then yells back at you, you know, or gives you the sign. It's about love. And people aren't feeling loved right now. And we want to say to you that all of you can experience more love. That's your job. That's what you came here to do. We love you all, dear ones. We love you, Veronica.
Thank you. Love you, too. And Jackie.
Yes, we love her as well. You talk to her, Veronica. She needs to talk with you.
I love that.
All right. We love you all, dear ones. To each and every one of you, our total, complete, unconditional love. It is held for you if you can visualize for one moment. Beyond what the eye can see, so many beings waiting for you to remember who you are. Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you so much.